thearts.org.
And support for WMNF comes from our members in Creative Loafing. The Florida Beef Council presents Tampa Bay Burger Week, featuring local Tampa Bay area restaurants from October 18th through the 28th. More at TampaBayBurgerWeek.com. And we are so grateful to all of you who made our fall fund drive so successful. If you pledge to pay by check or you need to return your Circle of Friends paperwork, please send it to Gene Moore. Or call him at 813-238-8001. And again, thank you very much. Good afternoon. You are listening to WMNF 88.5 FM in Tampa. This is community radio from West Central Florida. And this is Everyday Ethics. Each day, Monday through Thursday at this time, you and I take a look generally at what's happening around the White House and in the executive branch of the government, because they are your employees, so got to keep an eye on how things are going. I'm John Gilmore, and I host the sessions each Monday through Thursday, joined in the session this afternoon by Mr. Adam Bax. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon.
It is a pleasure to have you here. As always, Adam will be delivering unto you critical information and doing what he can to keep this behemoth between the guardrails.
So, yes, sir.
So anyway, what we're going to do today is what we do each Wednesday, which is we are going to open with a session of Everyday Ethics. Okay? So Everyday Ethics, knowing the difference between what you might have a right to do and what's right to do. And so You've heard, what's the difference between a helicopter and a lawnmower? Okay? It's an interesting question, and basically has to do with parenting.
When is good parenting too much parenting? This is Everyday Ethics.
Everyday Ethics is a production of WMNF Tampa, in conjunction with the Poynter Institute. Poynter, a global leader in journalism. Additional support is provided by NYU Langone Medical Center, one of the nation's premier academic medical centers devoted to patient care, education, and research.
Hi, welcome to Everyday Ethics, the podcast where we look at things that happen every day in your life, perhaps, and in mine, and we take them apart ethically and give you some ideas about where you might fall ethically on these issues. I'm Craig Kopp. I'm in the studios of WMNF Radio in Tampa, Florida. I'm joined by media ethicist Kelly McBride. She's in St. Petersburg, Florida at the Poynter Institute. Hello, Kelly.
Every day. Every day. That's why we named it Everyday Ethics.
When she's not running a lunch to a kid at school, no. Also joined by medical ethicist Art Kaplan. He's at the Langone Medical Center in New York City. That's where he works right now. He's in Connecticut. Hi, Art.
Hey, Kelly, can you call my dean and tell him I'm late because I'm recording this?
Got it. Gotcha.
From the drift, you can probably understand where we're headed here. We're talking about actually an acceleration in what we used to call helicopter parents.
School is just getting started, and a post is already going viral on a teacher-run Facebook page called We Are Teachers. The post itself is dubbed Lawnmower Parents Are the New Helicopter Parents, and we are not here for it. These two lines offer a pretty good summary. Lawnmower parents go to whatever lengths necessary to prevent their child from having to face adversity, struggle, or failure. Instead of preparing children for challenges, they mow obstacles down so kids won't experience them in the first place. The anonymous writer says they believe many lawnmower parents mean well, but explains that children need to be able to process their own challenges, respond to adversity, and advocate for themselves in order to become successful adults.
So I don't know what kind of parent you guys were. I know I wasn't the parent that always rushed in to take care of an issue that my kid had, probably because I was too lazy. But we've all heard about these helicopter parents. In particular, in college, I've done some teaching and I've had some experiences with that where the parent spends a lot of time dealing with issues that their kids are having in college. They just hover around. But it's gotten a little worse. At least we're seeing a lot of reports about what are being called lawnmower parents, where they come in and literally mow down every obstacle in their kids' way, solve every problem. And Kelly, that doesn't necessarily sound good for someone's growth.
I can't imagine that it's good for someone's growth, but there is a broader context to this, and that is that we have created this narrative that every choice and every evaluation that a kid gets is somehow going to lead to the next opportunity and the next choice, right? And so if my kid doesn't get an A in this class, he won't get into the great IB program in high school, and then he won't get into an Ivy League college, and then he won't get a great job, and then his life will be ruined.
He won't get a Supreme Court nomination. It'll be awful.
There you go. I have a lot of sympathy for parents who fall victim to this because the pressure is really high on parents. And I think that it's not that I was lazy, but I think that I would have been one of these parents if I'd had the time.
I think I was lazy.
I think it's bad parenting, so I'm not as sympathetic. You gotta come up with a balance, but when I was parenting, you know, my son was going to school where it required a ride on a public bus. And at some point, I was not going to drive him. He was going to get on that thing and take the ride and meet the world. And, you know, my wife and I decided that when that time came, he would do it. And there was risk. You know, there are all kinds of strange people moving around on the public transit system and out in the world. But I wanted him to be a problem solver, and I wanted him to figure things out.
I have a great story from one of my friends who took 2 hours off of her job to show her son, who was in middle school, how to use the public transit so that he could get around and he could have a little more freedom. And it was complicated, and they figured it out. And at the end of it, he said, "Yeah, I just don't think this is a good investment of my time." And she was like, Your time.
My son's mother didn't tell me that what she did was she got in the car and tracked the bus for the first couple of days to make sure he got off alive.
I followed the bus to school the first time I put a kid on the bus.
But remember, it wasn't a school bus. It was like a city bus. Anyway, I don't think you should solve every kid's problems. They got to come up and learn problem-solving skills. It's not like a test of their mental strength or something, but you do want them to be able to learn what to do if there's a problem and, you know, your father isn't going to sweep in all the time and fix it. So that's a skill set that you need. You got to teach it.
So is it unethical?
Yes.
Yeah.
It is unethical to raise a child that cannot function in the adult world, right? And it is a disservice to this child, right? It is a mild form of child abuse.
And by the way, I think you're more at risk of this when you get richer than when you're poor. You come from a family that doesn't have much or has a lot of kids, and you got to take care of your siblings and make some dinner and handle stuff. I'm not saying it's ideal for your scholarly development, so to speak, but you do learn how to navigate some tough things. When you're rich and you have helpers and other helicopter parents reporting back what they see you're doing, and schools that don't want to offend mom or dad because you're paying, you know, $50,000 to send them there, and you may come away a little impaired in terms of your ability to solve stuff because you're used to dumping it onto others.
You know, I have some experience because I have stepchildren, so I've done it kind of twice. The helicopter parenting was more prevalent in the environment of the stepkids, and parents get a lot of pressure because your kids will literally say, "Well, Jeannie's mom and dad, they did this and that and this and that." Even your kids think that you're supposed to.
Right. Those exploitative little jerks, yes.
Also get judged for not doing certain things. My kids, they had this lunch program in the public school when they went to middle school and high school, and you were supposed to put so much money on the account. And when you didn't put money on the account, they would run up the bill. I just couldn't remember to put the money on the account, right? Like, I was really busy. I was really distracted.
Oh, been there. Yep.
You know, and, like, they would call you and shame you for not doing that.
There was one school, I think, in Alabama that put a tattoo on the kid's head saying didn't pay lunch money or something.
Right, oh, right. Geez. Sort of the lunch money shaming. So we judge parents who don't cross all the T's and dot all the I's.
But you know what? That's different because that is your job. You have to capitalize.
Yeah, you were blowing it, Kelly.
Okay, fine. That is my job, to feed. I was supposed to feed them? Oh.
Exactly. But if, you know, the kid comes back and says, hey, you know, Jeffrey got a trip to Amsterdam at the intercession, and what you're telling us is we're going to visit Grandma in Camden, New Jersey, I think that deserves some eye rolling, not, hey, I'll do better, I'll save up.
I have been an interventionist parent. My stepdaughter was a cheerleader in high school. I was called into an office with my wife, and they slipped this picture in where she's shown holding a beer, and she's being kicked off the cheerleader team. I said, where'd this picture come from? And I literally ended up in front of the school board, and I won because I was incensed because somebody had steamrolled this. It was anonymous, and there was no record of it. They didn't know where the picture came from and all this kind of stuff. I was mad at her for being in a compromising position, but I was also mad that there was no process here. They slipped it in front of me like, oh, you're screwed. And I just looked at them, and I said, no.
Oh, you're totally guilty of this.
Yeah.
Yeah, you're totally guilty of this.
But I didn't, you know, call up every day and make sure that it
You went
run
to the
lunch.
School board.
Yeah, but it was wrong.
Why was it wrong?
The way it was handled was absolutely wrong, and I won because it was wrong.
Yeah, okay.
I mean, it was wrong that she didn't do it, or it was wrong, somebody framed her?
Yeah.
So she didn't drink the beer?
I don't
know. It wasn't a beer?
Oh, no, it was a beer.
Yeah. You totally are guilty of this.
No, I'm not.
Yes,
I totally
won.
No, I'm not.
Yes, you are.
I am not a protester, but that one just, you know, maybe it was my own, you know, past coming up.
The new term is the lawnmower parent, right? Because they mow down every obstacle and negative consequence that their kid might face for choices that their kid made, right?
If you think my stepdaughter didn't pay a price, you're wrong.
But she didn't pay the stated price.
The stated price was a frame job.
Craig.
You haven't lived in... maybe you have lived in the mean girl world of cheerleading.
I had a cheerleader. Athletes also. I mean, if you got caught drinking, you were off the team.
While Craig attempts to justify his meddling...
my lawnmower parenting.
I get it in a different direction. Somebody wants to use me as their lawnmower. A lot of parents of my son's friends, and it still happens a little bit even to this day, will try to ask me to intervene to get him into a college. They know I know everybody. They know I know all the admissions people at lots of places. They know I speak at a lot of these schools, and they don't hesitate to say, could you do something for, you know, little Joey? And my response is, well, look, little Joey, you know, he's got a track record, and he's going to get considered, and I'm not really going to mow the lawn for little Joey. I don't do it.
So there's a bunch of stuff going on here. I mean, one of the things, Craig, that you were really incensed about was there was a standard that was being applied randomly, perhaps, unevenly, probably.
Yep.
And that is, I mean, the rules in high school often are applied that way. And so when they do enforce the rules that are widely broken, it seems unfair. So that's one of the problems, is the system of the process is not a fair process. And that's what you were objecting to.
Yep.
However, you were definitely
I was a lawnmower
parent.
Oh, 100%. You were a power mower. You know, it wasn't just a push lawnmower. You were there with the full...
He had the full riding lawnmower.
I had a John Deere, damn it.
USA Today did an article about this, and they had some examples from this teacher chat room where a high school student asked a teacher to walk a student to the next class to assure that the student would not be late. Right? That's
well, the one that kills you is, can you blow on my kids' food because it's too hot?
Right. Can you cool down their lunch?
Yeah.
That one they're not much at risk of, at least at my school, the grizzly old lunch man and lady would have come out and said, "Too hot for you? Yeah. I might have dumped it on your head." I mean, yes. I wouldn't want to go there.
Snow waist deep, uphill, both ways.
Back in my day.
Exactly.
They cracked you one.
But the thing...
Absolutely.
So, you guys, get back to the main thing, which is... The culture reinforces for us that we should remove obstacles for our children. I just sat through a presentation yesterday by a guy from Gallup who was talking about the fact that more children graduated from high school last year, this last past year, in the United States than ever before. We had the highest high school graduation rate, percentage-wise. And we also have the highest number of kids in remedial college classes that we've ever had. We are removing obstacles to create accomplishments that aren't truly accomplishments. And the problem with that is then we have these kids who can't really function the way that the paper says they should be able to function. Google and Facebook have both done something really interesting in their hiring practices. Because remember that ultimately there's economic reasons behind this. We feel like if kids don't accomplish what they should accomplish, that their lives will be ruined and they won't get great jobs. Google and Facebook stopped even requiring a college degree in order to work there.
Wow.
They stopped looking at grades a long time ago. They have stopped requiring a college degree, and what they're saying is we can judge your ability to perform by your past ability to perform, and so we're going to evaluate that. And as a hiring manager, I tell people this all the time. Don't look at what they did on paper. Don't even look at their work product. Talk to people who worked with them and ask them if they could do the work the way that they were supposed to be able to do the work. So I think if we can change this narrative, and two of the biggest companies in the world are trying to change this narrative, I think that we'll change the pressure on parents that causes them to become a lawnmower parent.
And I'm going to say, I don't think your duty as a parent is to get rid of all obstacles. I think sometimes your duty as a parent is to let the kid work through not a terrifying obstacle or a horrific challenge, but, you know, some of the ones that come up in daily life. If you don't do it, they won't get the skill.
Right, which is what Google and Facebook are looking for when they try and hire people, or people who can problem solve.
Yeah.
And people who can collaborate, people who can do their own work. It's going to take a long time to change this narrative, but ultimately, I guess the other question is your job as a parent to make your kid's life better than yours?
And you know that every baby boomer, that's what their parents were out to do.
Well, that's the American story.
Yeah. And I think that's okay. It's just realizing that even if you think that's the right thing to do, you don't get there by trying to mow down every problem and obstacle.
No, in fact, you will make your kid's life a better life if you let them face challenges. It's more ethical to let them solve problems on their own. But it's the difference between a short-term and long-term outcome, right? It's sort of like dieting or exercising.
Uh-huh.
You got to look long range. You can't go for the short-term win.
It's tough to put up with the unsolved problem the week it happens, but if they work it through, it'll be better when they apply at Google.
Even when the consequences are really significant, even when it means that they don't get into their college of choice.
Or they get thrown off the cheerleading team, just saying.
You know, I'm going to really have to reassess
here. He's right.
Yeah, I know, but I was probably playing out something from my own high school days, because I've never felt better.
And let's talk about the ultimate reason that we do this as parents is because children are an extension of our own ego.
Mm-hmm.
We project all of our successes and failures onto them.
All right, agonizing reappraisal scheduled for Art Kaplan and Kelly McBride. I'm Craig Kopp, and this is Everyday Ethics, knowing the difference between what you have a right to do and what is right to do. Everyday Ethics, engineered by Dwayne Terry today. It's produced and edited by Dustin Hapley, and our researcher is
Christina Sokoranku.
Little boxes on the hillside. Little boxes made of ticky-tacky little boxes.
All right.
Everyday Ethics. Lawnmower parenting. Lawnmower parenting. The step above helicopter parenting. So, you're a parent, or probably had parents, huh? So, what more important job is there than parenting? And what do you think your role is as a parent? Are you supposed to be removing obstacles from the your child's path or your children's path? Are you supposed to be encouraging them to solve problems? What do you think your role is? Do you know any helicopter parents? Do you know any lawnmower parents? You can join us at 813-239-9663 this afternoon to get you in contact with Mr. Jeff Haynes. Jeff will want to know your first name, where you're calling from. Probably a word or two about what you've got to, what you want to say here in executive session. You can also reach us by email at dj@wmnf.org and by text at 813-433-0885. You're also invited to search for Executive Session on Facebook and like and follow the page so you can discuss today's White House events there as well. We will be returning to the issues around the White House, which you are no doubt clear there are many. But right now we are going to talk about this episode of Everyday Ethics, and that conversation starts at 813-239-9663. We'll be right back.
The British are coming! The British are coming again!
The 60s had ended, but England's audio assault on the States continued in the late 70s as progressive rock gave way to metal and new wave began to assert itself. WMNF presents The British Are Coming. 16 bands perform the best songs by the best British bands, 1975 to 1979. Saturday, November 3rd. Music starts at 6 at Skipper's Smokehouse. Tickets $12 advance. Go to WMNF.org for more info.
Support for WNF comes from our members and Goodwill, one of the original recyclers. Did you know that it takes nearly 1,800 gallons of water to produce one pair of jeans? When those jeans are donated to Goodwill, they're sold in Goodwill stores, and the proceeds support employment services for people in the local community. Goodwill shoppers and donators promote a greener community. More at goodwill-suncoast.org. If you're getting a new car, don't trade it in. Give it to WMNF. Your support is worth more than a low trade-in offer and helps ensure your fair programs are here for you and your community. Call 1-888-966-3885 or visit WMNF.org.
And here we are at about 28 minutes after 1 on a beautiful Wednesday afternoon here in as close to fall as we get here in October in Florida. And talking about parenting now, we've all had some experience of parenting, be it whether we were parents or whether we were parented. And this conversation about helicopter parenting, you know, the ones that are always hovering around, and now the growth of helicopter parenting into what they're calling lawnmower parenting, which is something I have to admit I had never heard of, but I understand what they're talking about. So what do you think? Let's go, let's talk. We're going to go and we're going to talk to Joe in St. Pete. Good afternoon, Joe. You're in executive session this afternoon. What do you think?
Good afternoon. First, I want to bring up a book which was made into a movie.
Uh-huh.
It was called Captain Courageous.
Uh-huh.
And there were a few things in that movie which are very important to the subject we're talking about today. For the first thing, what we're missing in our schools is we're missing the cooperation between parents and school. Because there just doesn't seem as if the schools care that much about the individual development of the child. I think that's missing. But they also don't communicate with the parents on that level.
Let me ask you a question. Is that something that you've had experience of, you have seen that in your students, or is it something that you've observed?
Yes. I've seen that in my life. I'm not a parent, but I'm the oldest of nine kids, so I have.
Well, you've seen some parenting.
Yes, I have, absolutely. But you know, I mean, when used to be back in the day, like we were talking about, that the school also had was involved with the development of the child and also was in communication with the parents. Which I don't think this is happening anymore, and that's what this movie is. Captain Courageous. Oh my God, what a great movie that was! But the whole story was about this kid was acting up in school. He was using his money and the father's power, because the father was a contributor to this boys' school. So he was using the father to get by on everything. And finally, the school people, the head of the school, said, "Well, we can't have this. He's got to learn how to be a decent human being." So, you know, this is something I don't know if it's still going on or not, but it's something that was going on back in the day when my brothers and sisters were growing up, and I think that's missing now, and that's why parents are so much more, I don't know, feel like they have to remove obstacles.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, I was, our children were in school during the time when there was, when they were busing people around for integration,
yes.
You know, to integrate the schools. And one of the things that I ran into was that, for example, we live over in Seminole Heights, and 1 year, the school board announced that it had it was busing our students out to Brandon.
Oh my God!
Okay, for racial balance, it's a very highly desirable result. You know, the target was a good thing, but one of the things that I kept hearing is how, as a parent, do I stay involved with my kid's school when it's 15 miles away? So I don't know if that's something that you had encountered or if that is something that you noticed that might have contributed to that sense of uninvolvement you're talking about. But it definitely was. It definitely came up in the course of our kids' education.
Yeah, well, that's something I was not thinking about either. But
I wonder if there are people out there who have had that experience who actually would like to have been a lot more involved with their kids' school, but found out that their kids were. And I don't know if they're still doing that. It's been an awful long time since any children in my family were in school.
It has to work both ways as well. The school has to be involved with the child.
Yeah.
As an individual, to help them grow, to help them develop as a human being. And this was happening many years ago, but I think it's missing today. I'm not sure, because I haven't had any young kids lately.
Yeah. You know? Yeah. Well, I think schools have changed. I think your assessment that schools have changed dramatically is right on. I hear more and more conversation about the classrooms being oriented around the fact that the school is assessed by the results of standardized testing that is done, you know, as the classes move along, and that even teachers. Merit pays and stuff like that have to do with the results of standardized tests. So the motivation is to make sure that all the kids or as many kids as possible pass the test.
Yeah.
Or do well on it anyway.
That shouldn't be the only motivation, though. The other should be, how is this person doing as a person?
Yeah.
As you are talking.
Yeah. Well, you know, I've had several opportunities to talk to, there's a lady that I used to, we used to have, be friends with, we used to go around to the music festivals, and she was a teacher, and she said that they actually used the standardized tests and the preparation for the standardized test to teach critical thinking, which was something which was an approach I hadn't heard.
Well, at least it's something.
Yeah. All right, listen, Joe, thanks for kicking us off. Anything else?
Nope.
All right, then we will talk again. Thank you very much. And we are going to move along. And you can reach us in this conversation about parenting, and specifically the ethics of what they're calling lawnmower parenting, which is that they say that now there are parents who basically go along in front of their kids and clear out all the obstacles, clear out all the problems, you know, try to make their path as smooth as possible. And what do you think of that? 813-239-9663, and we'll get you on the air, we'll get you in contact with Mr. Jeff Haynes, and he'll set you up and get you ready to come in here. Mary in Safety Harbor, good afternoon. You're in executive session this afternoon, and you have the floor.
Hi, my name is Mary Poole, and I'm a mother and a grandmother, as well as a professor of communication. And I find this conversation particularly irritating for a variety of reasons.
One, oh, good.
Your discussion about helicopter parenting and lawnmower parenting. I know those are catchphrases now, but I think it's a real oversimplification of situations where you want to have an absolute answer for every situation. And I think it's just a cute little catch-all right now. I don't disagree with what your guest said about you certainly need to teach children skills to cope, to be an adult and to live in the world. But, for example, your situation about going to bat for your stepchild with the cheerleading. I mean, how you can't just sit outside and label that one thing or another without looking at all of the circumstances, everything surrounding it, and every parent needs to make their own decision about what they think is best for their particular child. What happened, I mean, you were being shamed for doing that. I was getting irritated because that was your decision. I'm sure you evaluated the options. And to be called a helicopter parent or a lawnmower parent or a locomotive parent, which is another thing.
Oh, please tell us about, wait. Don't let me go past that. Tell me about locomotive parent, because that's really choice.
That's not my point. My point is that what I want to say, parents have lots of reasons to feel guilty and shamed. Most parents I know are constantly worried and feeling guilty. I think we do the best job we can under the circumstances that we have. And yes, some parents need to be less involved, and some parents need to be more involved. Mm-hmm. But to put this sort of catch-all phrase of helicopter parent and lawnmower parent on every situation without knowing the circumstances, I think is an injustice to children as well as to parents.
I'm sure that you are correct. Now, first off, let me let you know that the discussion that you heard at the beginning of the program was among three people who have a podcast called Everyday Ethics. Okay, so that's and that includes the station manager here and a gentleman at Langone and a gentleman and a lady over at Pointer. Okay. So that's what that was. Now, what I've noticed is that for purposes of conversation, human beings label stuff. And the labels are always inaccurate because they are always talking about individuals. So I agree that the labels are either too restrictive or non, you know, they just, but that's how we talk about things. Well, as far as I can tell, one of the fundamental things that humans do is name stuff.
Yeah, but I teach communication, okay? I have a PhD in communication. One of the things I talk about is we have choices.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to fall into that. We don't have to use those catch-all phrases. We have other options.
Okay.
We talk about things in a more complicated, nuanced way.
Okay.
I realize most people don't do that, but we do have that option.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I strongly recommend we do that because otherwise we're doing harm to.
Are you there?
I am.
Oh, good. It sounded like we lost your signal there for a second. I'm glad that you're still there. Well, listen, this is a conversation on the sessions that is always open to people with different viewpoints, as wide an array of viewpoints as we can possibly get. So I really appreciate you bringing your viewpoint in and bringing that into the session. And thank you very much. Sure enough.
Yeah.
813-239-9663. An objection.
Yeah.
An objection to the use of the terminology.
I thought that was very insightful. I never thought about it being a term of, like a catch-all term for...
Yeah.
That put a little seed in my brain thinking about
that. See, that's it. Well, now you can walk away disturbed. That's what we do. That's what we do here. We take stuff that looks like it's perfectly simple.
Yep.
All right. We'll see where we go. Ann in Newport Richie, good afternoon. You're in executive session and you have the floor.
Hi, real quick. I just wanted to say that I was deemed a helicopter parent.
Uh-huh.
And I was told that by family members who worked in the school system. And I had 3 children in the school system in Pasco County in their senior years. And also I've been involved in state and federal programs in education. My father also was in education as a principal, and my mother was a educator on the federal and state level.
Okay.
All I can tell you is don't stop being a helicopter parent, and don't stop being a lawnmower parent, and don't be ashamed of it. I was a kid whose parents were very busy in school. I raised 3 kids who all have their degrees and masters. They went great. Everything worked out great. And also, my parents, one of them sent me to school in a taxi. So if you have to send your kids to school in a taxi, do it.
Mm-hmm. All right. Thank you. Good to hear from you. We'll talk again. All right. Kids have to confront obstacles. I remember an 8 or 9 year old girl standing on the wall of the diving tank of a swimming pool during swimming lessons, and the task was jump into the diving tank. All right. Now the instructors and some parents were down in there, and this was absolutely terrifying. Now, one of us could have gotten up out of the water, walked over, and very gently lowered her into the water. But instead, we let her know that we were right there and that she was going to be okay. And after a little while, she jumped. And she overcame something. She faced fear. She faced a genuine fear. And she was energized. Thereafter, I noticed a certain change in her attitude. She was energized because there was a little something that had her by the back of the neck. And all of a sudden, it wasn't there anymore. So 813-239-9663, this discussion on parenting. Apparently, a very wide range of opinions here, ranging from stop calling people that, all the way up to if you're doing that, keep doing it. And what we're going to do right now, Rex, I see you there, and we're going to be with you in just a moment. I'll tell you what, Rex, let's go and talk to you right now. Rex in St. Petersburg, good afternoon. You are in executive session. You have the floor.
Well, thank you, sir. I'm gonna do a flip and a flop and then take you to Trump. Anyway.
Flip-flop Trump. That's a good rhythm.
In my early 60s, I have 2 17-year-old daughters that are seniors in high school.
Wow.
So I have a whole different perspective on everything. My wife and I are lucky. We're sort of strange that we're still married and are raising children together.
Yeah, what's wrong with you?
I'm trying to figure that out, you know?
Get back to us, okay?
But on the whole thing is, when you start elementary school, you better be a helicopter.
Yeah.
Because if you're not, your kids are being controlled and taught things that if you're not helicoptering, you may disagree with and vehemently disagree with. And you need to then discuss that not only with the teachers, but you need to discuss it with the SAC of the school. You need to discuss it with the PTA. You need to be involved in your kids' life. Middle school comes, which I've never understood, because I went to a school that was kindergarten 8 and 8 through 9 through high school.
Yeah.
So I never understood middle school. Why do you take And middle schools, if you notice, that in at least in Pinellas County, are the largest populated schools. So you take now raging hormones and you throw them in to this kettle and expect them to understand that they're changing physically and sexually and everything else. So at that time, I started easing up a little bit, watching carefully, but my wife got more intense on from a helicopter to a lawnmower.
Mm.
Okay? Now they're seniors in high school. My wife is having a difficult time pulling back, being the lawnmower, but doing so. I'm now there as support to my children to say, you got a problem? Let's sit down. We're adults here. Let's talk about it.
Uh-huh.
So it's a, you got to start out being definitely in there constantly with your kids. You can't trust a system of minimum, you know, underpaid teachers to teach your ethics to your kids.
Because yeah.
They're not your ethics.
Yeah.
They're what the teachers are demanded to teach. So if we're going to have a strong society, parents better be damn involved.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think you're right. I think that values come down through the home. I think that there's a lot to be learned in school, and I think that the fundamental values and ethical considerations that you're talking about come down through the home, and that those are passed from parents to children. And
absolutely.
So you and I share a viewpoint about that. We had we had some very interesting experiences in our child raising, our child rearing years, and we actually used to encourage exploration, and it was basically my conclusion after I looked around a little bit that the physical world was a lot better teacher than I was.
Mm-hmm.
And that yeah. if somebody wanted to see if they could climb something, rather than me going, oh, you can't climb it, or sure you can climb it, the best thing what I used to do is I used to go up and I used to stand there and wait and watch the climb. And if they climbed all the way to the top, it was like, cool, you can climb that. And if they fell off, my job was to keep their head from hitting the floor.
You hit it right on the head. And so you're there for them, but you're not always mowing open paths.
Yeah. Okay. And they learned, you know, they got to test out their physical capacity. They got to test out their endurance. They got to find out what they could do and what they couldn't do. They got to find out what happened if they made an error.
Yep.
And it wasn't me telling them.
Let's bring this all the way back now around.
Okay.
Since this is executive session.
Okay.
To the supreme distractor. the guy that, you know, got a small loan of $1 million.
Yeah. Your dad could have loaned you a little bit of a little $1 million, couldn't he?
Well, he did. He didn't loan me $1 million, but he seeded money
yeah.
that, you know, helped me start my company.
Good.
In a bow way, but yet I paid him back. And it didn't end up being a $61 million, and then years down the road turns out to be $441 million worth of an estate.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to talk about a mow down helicopter all rolled into one. Just look at the kids of the third generation of wealth.
Uh-huh. Oh, I see. There you go. Now I got what you're talking about.
You go all the way across the board on how the mass of 1% of this country is now in its third generation of wealth and how useless they are as human beings.
Yeah, see, I don't know a lot of those people, but I would think that if I was the third generation down the line in a very wealthy family, that if there was ever anything that, if there was ever any circumstance that set me up to consider myself entitled to anything, that would probably be it.
I have a friend of mine that's part of the DuPont family. And we were out drinking. Well, every time we used to get together as a group going out drinking, we'd all buy rounds. When it always came to his turn to buy a round, he had to go. he had some place to be. He So
that's how you stay wealthy.
Well, the interesting part of it all was, though, he said one evening, and we all stopped hanging out with him that evening. He said, you know, I don't know how anybody can live. And this is good 35 years ago. He said, you know, I don't know how anybody can live on less than $1 million a year.
Come on over to my house and I'll show you.
But yet he would go out drinking with us and take our money, have our liquor, and then say goodnight.
Yeah. Yeah, I have heard, I've heard Congress people say that they needed a raise because they simply couldn't live on the $270,000 a year that they were getting. And I went, this is constantly amazed. So I would say, listen, give me $274,000 a year. I will show you how to live on it quite well. Just, you know, come on over.
Put $150,000 of it away.
Absolutely. All right, Rex, listen, thanks a lot. I appreciate your call, and we'll talk again. All right, 813-239-9663. We'll get you in here. Mr. Jeff Haynes will answer your call, get you ready to step in here. We are talking about parenting, and originally we were kind of set off by an episode of Everyday Ethics that is about where they were talking about lawnmower parenting and helicopter parenting. We've had a very, very wide range of opinion, including an educator who said that they think that it's really not a good idea to even talk in those terms. And then someone else who has said, do it, do it, do it. So those are the poles of the discussion so far. And you can reach the discussion and weigh in here because you probably had parents and you may have even been a parent, and if so, we're interested in hearing from you at 813-239-9663.
Hi, this is Larnell Scott with a WMNF community announcement. Superheroes are fun to watch at the movies. However, there are almost 1,000 abused and neglected children in Pasco and Pinellas counties waiting for real-life superheroes to volunteer as guardians ad litem and become their voices. These precious children need volunteers to help them find safe, permanent homes. Guardian ad litem volunteers become superheroes to our community's children. You may learn more at herotoachild.org.
Support for WNF comes from our members in Live Nation, presenting Trevor Noah's first ever arena run with Loud and Clear Tour 2019. The Daily Show host and celebrated comedian performs at Yuengling Center on January 20th. More at Ticketmaster.com. The support for WNF comes from our members in the Florida Law Group, protecting the rights of the wrongfully injured since 1984. The Florida Law Group is dedicated to creating strong and lasting connections with their clients and community. More at thefloridalawgroup.com. Support for WNF comes from our members in EDU PBS. EDU will honor nonprofit organizations and volunteers during the WEDU Be More Awards. Applications and nominations will be accepted through October 30th. Information is online at wedu.org/bemore.
All right, back to it. 813-239-9663 this afternoon, talking about parenting, and whether or not there is, whether or not it's useful to consider somebody a helicopter parent or, you know, so let's see who we're going to go. Elected official. Oh, got some people who are commenting on email and said the statement is part of the narrative designed to make us all feel as if we have the ability to change the corruption. Oh, we have somebody that is that disagrees with the notion. Each day we open the session here, and the general gist of it is that the people in the executive branch are your employees. They work for you. And Edward is basically taking some issue with that that make us feel as though we have the ability to change the corruption rampant in our government at all levels, and that the says that our elected officials are in actuality controlled by K Street lobbyists, which is fine, but we are the people who put the elected officials there, and if we don't put them there, they don't be controlled by anybody, and if we don't like how they're acting, we vote them out, and that's why I say they are our employees, and I will stand by that particular conclusion. And we're going to get an opportunity to demonstrate that here in just a few weeks. Cynthia in Bradenton, good afternoon. You are in executive session, and you have the floor.
Hello.
Hello.
I'm calling about the parenting. I've never heard of helicopter parenting.
I hear you.
I have a son who flies a helicopter, but here's my experience. I'm 65 years old. When I was 2.5 in New York, my parents got divorced. And I was the only child I knew growing up whose parents were divorced.
Oh.
So I thought that was, you know, the end of the world.
Uh-huh.
And I have now 4 children and 4 grandchildren. My four kids did the 40-60 going back and forth to their dad. And I am a 26-year recovering alcoholic and addict.
Uh-huh.
So I can tell you this, that love is what counts.
Mm-hmm.
And I used to be really afraid about the divorce rate. And then in recovery, I come across a lot of single moms and have been very scared at times about how the single moms teach their young children, particularly their sons, that men are worthless.
Mm.
And so my experience is that we can overcome anything.
Uh-huh.
My kids and me, we were not sexually abused. Some of that I don't understand. But being involved and without being a holy roller, faith and family is what has gotten my 4 kids to a place where they are super motivated and super successful and super good parents of their own.
There you go.
They are involved. You know, they're involved, but they teach their kids how to volunteer, how to give stuff up. And probably the very best thing I ever did for my kids was encouraging them to get a job as soon as they could as teenagers.
Yeah. Well, listen, that is it. See, now you have brought a viewpoint into the discussion that no one else had. And I really appreciate you doing that. I appreciate your openness and honesty and the depth of your willingness to share that stuff with us. And I thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sure enough. And we are in the lightning round. We're going to go and see if we can talk to Tim. Tim, good afternoon. You're in executive session, and I believe you're going to have the last word.
Hey, I just wanted to let someone know that my skew is has to do with finances. And the helicopter or helicopter parent or blinders or someone that just says break it all, I think it all skews towards how much money or finances someone has, because they either had the money to do so,
uh-huh,
or possibly the means to do so, or they were scared into being a helicopter or someone with blinders on, or break it. And the only way I'm a 52-year-old father of 2, and my answer is just a combination of all may assist the child in their upbringing, but I just think that money possibly may skew someone into doing such.
I see. Well, listen, I appreciate that. And with any luck, you and I will talk again.
Yes, thank you.
Sure enough. All right, that's going to be it for our discussion this afternoon. Be sure to hang around here because I see a gentleman walking into the studio next door, and Mr. Scott is going to bring you It's the Music. He's going to bring you the All Souls edition of It's the Music this afternoon. Going to take you from 2 to 4 and music you through the afternoon, and then deliver you unto the traffic jam, whence you will be escorted back to the house. And we will be back here tomorrow. I'm not exactly sure what we're going to be doing, because we always look to see what the occurrences are. Thank you, Adam, for your participation. Appreciate you being here this afternoon.
Of course, love being here.
And appreciate you, of course, being here. And thank you for your support through the fundraising last week. Very, very rewarding, very, very, very powerful. And we'll be back tomorrow. And until then,
it has to start somewhere. It has to start sometime. What better place than here? What better time than now?
You have been listening to Executive Session here on WMNF 88.5 FM. This is WMNF Tampa, and we'll be back tomorrow inviting you to have your say.